Hey there, welcome to the About Your Body podcast. I'm Rachel Holt, the founder and one-woman show behind About Your Body. I'm a visual designer who has an ever-growing interest in the biofemale reproductive system. I want to use my design skills to empower people, especially young girls, to learn all about how incredible their body is and what it can do. I would like to acknowledge that this podcast was recorded on stolen land, the land of the Gadigal people. I pay my utmost respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and their continuing connection to Australian land, sea, and sky. Australia always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the About Your Body podcast. I hope you've all been well. Today, I have a very inspiring guest for you whose work is very relevant to a lot of our listeners. We're speaking with Chloe De Winter, all about loving and caring for your body through movement. Chloe is a physiotherapist and Pilates instructor who is passionate about helping people connect to their bodies through movement without judgment. She's the founder of GoClo Pilates, which is a premium Pilates platform offering classes for all bodies. So essentially, Chloe's aim is to remove the stigma, intimidation, and fear around Pilates or around exercise and movement that women find themselves experiencing. She wants every body, no matter what that body looks like, to connect with the practice and connect with their body. I absolutely love this mission because About Your Body was created as a platform to inspire women to learn more about their bodies and prioritize bodily health and function over bodily appearance. I don't want to encourage anyone on this podcast to work out so that they can look a certain way. I want to encourage people to work out so that they can feel a certain way. And Chloe seems to be all about that. She's particularly interested in the effect of Pilates as a rehabilitation tool, which I share an interest in as Pilates is the rehab tool that my own physio prescribed me for my scoliosis, which is a curvature of the spine. Okay, enough rambling. I can't wait for you all to hear about Chloe's mission to inspire people to change their perception of the role that exercise plays in their lives and to use it as a way to celebrate the body, not punish it. Hi, thank you so much for being on the podcast, Chloe.
Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here.
I'm very excited to speak to you. I think you are the first foundational exercise guest that I've had on the show, and I'm really excited because I haven't spoken much on this podcast about the importance of exercise and moving your body because I've been too afraid of touching on issues of body positivity and body sensitivity. So I think this will be a very good episode.
Excited. You can ask me whatever you want.
Thank you. I would love to start off by hearing about your passion for the human body and for movement. Like, what fuels your interest in Pilates in particular?
Yeah, so I've always really been interested in the human body. Like, I'm thinking back to like high school days, always was fascinated with it. And growing up in Melbourne and deciding what I wanted to do with university, choosing courses, I actually got lucky that I picked something that I'm still really interested in and studied physiotherapy. And that just suited me perfectly. I was really, that fueled me, that passion for the body. And then entering the workforce as a physio, I started with Pilates pretty soon. I did my first Pilates course in my last year of uni. And then as soon as I started working, I started teaching Pilates and combining that with my physiotherapy work. So straight away, I kind of understood the connection and the real magic that can happen with Pilates with this sort of physio knowledge and this physio brain, and just was exposed to the incredible impact that it can have on people's lives and how it can like truly change their lives. And that was addictive to me. I also like love working with people. So the fact that I could build such close relationships with my clients was just awesome. And then, yeah, it's just sort of taken off from there. And here I am today. I now have GoClo Pilates, which is an online Pilates business that I run. And I love it.
That is amazing. No, thank you. I absolutely love that you have actually stuck with what you did from straight out of school, because I certainly did not go into what I thought I was going to do. I didn't stick with what I thought I was going to do once I turned into an adult. So it seems like you have a pretty good like sense of intuition about what you like. Were you like an athletic child growing up?
Honestly, not particularly, if I'm being honest, like very mediocre, like middle of the range. I definitely like wasn't the worst on the soccer team, but I never was the best either.
I think middle of the range is pretty good. I was so bad, so not interested in any sort of movement.
Yeah, but to be honest, like I always really enjoyed it. And like I always loved like playing team sports. I love trying new things. And as I've gotten older, like that hasn't stopped. And like my passion for movement is definitely still there. Also like never properly did dance, but like love to dance and love the way that it feels on my body now. And all these things, I think it's all like formed the place that I've landed now, which is pretty cool.
That is really, really cool. And I feel like most of the listeners will probably know what Pilates is, particularly because I think 97% of the listeners on this podcast are women. but could you sort of outline some of the physical and mental benefits of Pilates for us?
Absolutely. So Pilates, it can be incredible for, as you just said, body and mind, and that's why I love it so much. So it has a really big focus on strength of the body, endurance of certain muscles, as well as mobility of the body and the joints. Also flexibility, and can improve all of these things, and that the real magic happens because it translates into the way that you live your life. So with stronger core strength, with more pelvic stability, with stronger glutes, with stronger upper body, you feel that difference. You feel lengthened through your spine throughout the day. Your posture feels better. You feel stronger when you walk. If you're a runner, your running improves. It sort of really transfers into whatever you do in your life. And it can really be adjusted to target those specific needs of each person. And with that comes, I feel, a sense of confidence and empowerment. So you feel better, you feel better in your body, you feel better in your skin because you feel more able to do these things that you love. And of course that contributes to the way that we feel. So for me, movement is medicine. It's my Pilates is like my moving meditation practice. Mm. And when you take the time to really connect into your body and how you're feeling, okay, I'm doing this abdominal exercise and I feel my abdominals firing, then suddenly your mind is on that. It's on that feeling in your own body and you feel present on the mat in that moment. And that is why it can be so powerful for your mind. You can let go of other things and you can focus on how you feel in that moment, which is a goal for all of us and something that we are trying to do more of, isn't it?
Certainly is. And that is incredible that you can have that sort of, it's like a, I was going to say out of body experience, but it's like an inner body experience. Yeah. Just by, I find that with Pilates and yoga 100%. And I think with some other exercise, just some sort of like, I find this with running, I can get quite in my head. But particularly when you're doing Pilates or yoga as, not that they're the same, but Pilates or yoga as instructed by somebody, like you literally have to focus on what the person is telling you to do. And I find that really beneficial. It's so interesting hearing about all of the research that has come out, not that it's anything new, but it's just sort of more mainstream now about movement and mindfulness going together. For me, that's been like almost my only motivation to have any sort of movement, because I've never been a very active, I've never been even a remotely active person, let's not say very. and I feel like the mindfulness aspect of it is what drew me to it and it's what keeps me in. So I love that it has that effect on the mind and body. How about Pilates postpartum? Like, do you see a lot of people seeking Pilates as a rehab for their pelvic floor, like before or after pregnancy?
Yeah, absolutely. Only a couple of months ago, I actually launched on GoClo On Demand, my subscription platform, a whole prenatal and postnatal program because I saw the need for this. I saw so many people who wanted this. And I created it. It is, I've worked a lot with pregnant women and postnatal women throughout my years of being a physio. And also I lived in New York for 3 years working as a Pilates instructor and physio over there and saw so many women and saw how beneficial it can be. And I sort of felt like there was a lack of accessibility for that in online platforms of really quality products. So that's why I launched that. Both pregnancy and postpartum. So pregnancy, so important to help build up your pelvic floor muscle strength. So they're the muscles, for people who don't know, the muscles that help you hold on if you're busting for the toilet. They also help with the support of the pelvic region. And in pregnancy, naturally, those muscles can weaken. It's just what happens. So really important to strengthen them up. And then postpartum as well. So important to rehabilitate those muscles, build up strength through those muscles, and also build up strength through your core muscles. Now, there are so many changes that naturally happen to the body in pregnancy and postpartum. I know there's a lot of external pressure from the world to sort of get your body back and all these other horrible things, but Pilates is just a beautiful way to rebuild strength and help women find confidence in their own bodies again after that exciting period. So, yeah.
Yeah, and if that can – so is it beneficial for – people who've had cesarean sections and people who've like had vaginal births? Like, is it, does it differ in any way, the sort of Pilates that you might be able to do after birth, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it does at first, definitely. Pilates is effective for all women, no matter what their birth experience was. But the biggest difference is how quickly you can actually get back into exercise. So with a cesarean, because it is abdominal surgery, you need to wait 6 weeks before you start any sort of exercise again. There are also restrictions in how much you can lift. So there's going to be no like weightlifting or anything like that. But really, it's just rest and recovery from the surgery for the first 6 weeks. And then only after someone gets clearance from their obstetrician or their midwife or whoever they see, can they then resume exercise. If you did have an uncomplicated vaginal birth, then it is actually safe to exercise after you have clearance from your doctor at about 2 weeks or whenever you're ready. But I really think the biggest thing to remember, especially postpartum, is that women should exercise when they feel ready for it. And there's no rule, there should be no external pressure. And I know that a lot of the pressure is sometimes placed on women from their own internalized perceptions, but it's really important to listen to your intuition and tune into what feels good for you. I have a lot of clients who after a birth will be messaging me and saying, had my baby 3 weeks ago, I'm ready, can I do it? And I just want to say, like, how are you feeling? And how are you connecting with your baby? Like, have you gone for a walk? Like, just all these things. And then there's other women who come back to me 2 years after they have a baby and they say, now I'm ready. And that's okay as well. And both experiences are totally fine. Both are okay as long as you feel okay with that decision and you feel ready to resume exercise again.
I could not agree more. And it's also nice to know that that physio and Pilates, not that they're the same, but just because you're a physiotherapist and also a Pilates instructor, are so interconnected, like that you've trained in physiotherapy. I believe, do you have a bachelor or master's in physiotherapy? Can you remind me?
Master's in physiotherapy practice. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. And so I would feel personally very confident in your hands if I was coming to a Pilates instructor who's also like a trained physiotherapist. I feel like you can't really get much better than that. And that sort of, you've kind of already touched on this, but About Your Body is all about encouraging people to know and understand their bodies, which includes like their menstrual cycle, the amazing work of the female reproductive system, birth, labor, etc. And I want to know, like, how do you think we can connect to our bodies through movement, whether that be Pilates or just another sort of movement?
Yeah, look, I believe in the power of movement, but I'm not going to sort of sit here and say that every single person in the world should do Pilates, because I don't believe that. What I do believe is that every single person should explore different ways to move their bodies and find ways to move their bodies that they enjoy and that feel good for them. I'm personally not a runner, but I have friends who love to run, and that's what they love to do. They use it to get out of their head. Their bodies feel amazing to it. They feel motivated. They feel strong, and like, power to them. That feels good for them. But for me, for Pilates, that ticks the boxes for me. And I think that's the most important thing. Take away the pressure of what that looks like. So for you, it might be like putting on some Beyonce and like dancing around your bedroom in your undies. And if that's what makes you feel good and that's what movement you enjoy, then that's what you should do.
I love that. And again, couldn't agree more. Yeah, I would love to actually get into this. I'll get to this a little bit later, I think, but I'd love to get into how we can shift from understanding movement and exercise as a place of like purely aesthetic gain to just mental health and well-being and physical health and well-being gain. But sort of shifting gears a little bit, I think that with understanding the body comes unpacking the shame that the patriarchy has enforced onto us throughout our entire life. As women, your body is always seen as like, it's like an object, somebody else's. And a lot of people, I think, fall into the trap, me included, of working out just to look a certain way. And I find that people avoid exercise because they're ashamed of how their body looks. And I also did that myself, for sure. And it's like, it's so disappointing because you might be too embarrassed to set foot in a gym, or you might be comparing your body to somebody else's that has a completely different experience of you. And you think that means that you can't exercise, but that's not the case for almost most people, especially if you're able-bodied. There are limitless ways that you can move your body and exercise, and you don't have to fit into the narrative that society always draws for us. So I wonder if you have any thoughts on like deconstructing that shame that people often feel about their bodies. Can movement, do you think, be a tool to like erasing that shame?
Yeah, I definitely do. I'm in a position here where I have some level of power because I'm the voice telling you what to do and how to move your body. And I feel a lot of responsibility in that. And I try and do my part to try and erase some of that internalized misogyny and some of that shame around bodies. And I've thought a lot about this. And when I started this business and I had this platform that was online that had limitless reach potentially, I really thought about my messaging. And it's really simple things for me. It's the choice of words that I use. It's what goals I'm trying to place on the people in my class. And I'm really careful with that. And it has had an impact. And I've seen that, which is really a beautiful thing about what I do and something that I love about what I do. So I think for people who seek out ways to move their bodies, make choices. So not everyone is going to be the same, but choose to move your body with someone that makes you feel empowered, that makes you feel good in your skin, that maybe motivates you to do exercise that isn't based on aesthetics. No more working off last night's pizza. No more getting in shape for summer. No more, one more for that flat stomach. Like, none of that. And if you are moving your body with someone who is using that sort of messaging, then I think you really need to make a different choice and question that. Instead, a shift from that. So do 3 more of these glute bridges because your glutes will feel so strong. When you go for a walk tomorrow, you'll feel more power in your legs. You'll squat deeper. You'll feel more flexible in your body. You'll feel your spine will feel lengthened and long. Your shoulders will feel relaxed. You'll release tension in your body. This sort of messaging helps people feel good. And I think that it is your responsibility as a consumer to try and seek this out. And exercise classes is one thing, definitely, but also like who you follow on Instagram, like question that, like actually look at that. What influencers do you follow? What kind of messaging are they putting out in the world? I'm so careful with what I put on Instagram. I don't talk about aesthetics ever. I don't put filters on my stories that change the way my face looks and slim down my cheeks and give me cheekbones. I just want people to see me because that's what I look like. And I'm just a woman doing some Pilates and it feels good on my body. And like, that's how you should feel. I also think one of the beauties of what the platform that I built this past year is that people can do it from their home. And you sort of touched on this before, like the shame that some women feel going to a gym environment. And it's not only the pressure that we feel from an instructor, but honestly, we as women, because of this, the way that we've been brought up and this internalized misogyny, we judge each other. It's like ingrained, and it's something we have to almost unlearn. But what comes with that is, I know, a lot of fear to go to gyms and to be around other women. I know that. But working out at home has actually been really empowering for a lot of women. And I've gotten a lot of messages from clients who feel that they have felt scared to go into a gym to work out in front of other people. And now they can do it in an environment where they feel comfortable and they can work through that by themselves, which is, I think, is really awesome for some women.
Yeah. And thank God that you and people like you have created platforms that that actually can exist. Personally, I work out at home a lot more because of exactly what you just said. It's so weird how, even though like I'm all about women's empowerment, sometimes I'll walk into a gym and I'll be like, oh really, she's wearing that?
I know. Like,
oh my God, Rachel, shut up.
I'm exactly the same. And sometimes I'll think like, oh, like exactly the same. Like, oh, she's wearing that. And then I'm like, good for her. Like, you go, girl. I have to like almost like switch my thinking.
Yeah, let her live her life. It's all about unlearning. It is, yeah. And so I guess my next question, but I think you've answered it. Like, is it safe to say that you think the focus on exercise needs to shift away from what your body looks like to what your body is capable of? Or do you think Absolutely. What your body looks like can play into it somehow?
It's a gray area, because I also do believe that some women can want to lose weight. They can. Like, that's possible. And maybe you are choosing certain exercises because you need to lose weight. Maybe you have gotten advice from a medical professional that says your cholesterol is high and you need to run, or you need to do high intensity exercise because you need to lose weight for your health. And there is a place for that. I just feel like at the moment, the majority of the messaging is around that. It's around weight loss and looking a certain way. It's all about aesthetics, mm-hmm. right? And most of the messaging shouldn't be that, because it means as women, we're just hounded with this nonstop. And it's impossible to not internalize that messaging. So that's why we need to sort of try and shift it as much as we can. But look, I think there is a place for it somewhere. Look, I'm working on what that looks like. But for me, my platform, I'm not going to push that messaging ever. That's not for me. If someone wants to reach out to me privately and ask for advice, I'll be honest with them and tell them that. But also, if someone's goal is to lose weight, then potentially they need to question why that is their goal. Is it their goal because they have been given advice from a medical professional that they need to do that for their own health and well-being? Or is it just their own perception of their body that they're struggling with? And is that a result of the messaging around them?
Oh, yes. Okay, cool. We're on the exact same page. I think I always have to question, or I don't actually have to do it all that much anymore because I'm really comfortable in my body now, which is amazing. But I used to a lot have to question, am I really worried about my health, or am I listening to society's fat phobic narrative that has been pushed onto us? And society is so fat phobic, and it's so it's phobic of anything that doesn't fit the really thin norm, whether that be fat or not. And I'm really grateful that there are women like you out there who are just trying to change that. And I'm trying to do that myself as well. That's okay. Do you have any tips on how sort of individuals can shift from self-shame or self-hatred to self-love? I know that's a big question.
I think when you say it like that, it makes it sound sort of simple, where you shift into that mode. And I'm also at a place where I'm really comfortable in my body, but it's not that simple for me. It's still a process, and I still have days where I look in the mirror and I think like, oh God.
Yeah.
But I think what's helped me is my experience with movement. I found a way of moving my body that I love that makes me feel things in my body. I feel stronger than I ever have before, which makes me feel empowered, which makes me feel proud of where my body is at. And those feelings take over. And I try and think about that. The days where I'm having a bad body image day and I'm looking at the mirror and I'm thinking like, oh, like my stomach flab is rolling over my leggings. I don't know, whatever it is, which is like a normal thing. So what? I stop myself and think, okay, why am I thinking this? Like, I love that my core is strong. I love that my shoulders are strong. My glutes are strong. And I just try and shift the focus on something that is positive. And even like simple things like looking in the mirror and like listing the things that you love about yourself sounds corny, but honestly, over time, this sort of thing helps. I've definitely noticed a huge shift in my own body image over the past year. I feel so much more comfortable in my skin. I never dreamed that I would be recording videos of me moving and doing Pilates and sending them out on putting them on YouTube or like out to my clients. I never thought I would be in a place where I would do that. And I'm proud of that. Like, I'm thinking now, I'm just with this question, I'm reminded of this time. It was probably now just over a year ago when I was living in New York. I was working at a studio over there as a physio and a Pilates instructor. Loved my job, but it was all in person, nothing online. And I got an opportunity to teach a Pilates class through my studio, East River Pilates. Got an opportunity to teach this Pilates class, a series of four sessions through Well and Good, which is a wellness publication that I loved and have always loved, right? Mm. And they were like, you're going to teach four classes on this platform and we're going to post it on our YouTube channel. The week leading up to that session, the recording session, was probably the most stressful week I had ever had. I've literally never been so insecure. I didn't sleep for the week. I thought about the outfit they were going to put me in. I thought about the angles the camera was going to get on my body. I thought I had the biggest case of imposter syndrome I had ever had. My poor husband had to like console me through the week because I was like so nervous. I did the sessions. I was nervous about it. And now those classes are posted on their YouTube channel. And one of those videos has 750,000 views. And it has comments on it where people say how much they loved the class. There was no mention of body image or anything like that. And it was a huge lesson for me where I was like, why did I care that much? Why did I spend that week worrying? Why wasn't I just excited about the experience that was in front of me? Why wasn't I like proud that I had that opportunity and excited to see where it would take me? And I look at that, think back to that moment, and I compare it to where I am now. And I'm proud of my progress and where I am now. I can teach in front of a camera now without even thinking about it. And that's amazing. It's not like that my body has changed significantly. It's that my mindset has changed. So I think like it's important for people who are struggling with this to know that it can change. You can improve it. And for me, it was Pilates and feeling a certain way and doing more and more of it. That really was transformational for me in my personal body image. But it might be different for you, but you can explore all these different things for you and just know that you can get to a point where you feel that way.
No, that's great advice. And the amount of, I think everybody deals with this to some extent, some far more than others. I took a picture of myself today. It's funny, you were talking about face filters because I actually hate face filters, but that's a bit of an unpopular opinion because people love them because they make them feel more confident. And I used to use them, but on my platform now, because I have a lot of young women that follow me, younger than me, I don't want to trick them into thinking that I look a way that I don't look. And I took a picture of myself today and I have a really, so my dad is Jewish. My mom is Lebanese. I have a big nose. And I was like, oh, my nose looks so big in that picture. It's just what my nose looks like. It doesn't look any bigger than usual. And I was about to retake it. And I was like, no, Rachel, if somebody goes to bed thinking about your goddamn nose and how big it is, that's their problem. That's not my problem. And no doubt my kind friends will probably reply to it being like, oh my God, you look so beautiful. Whether they think it or not, it doesn't matter. I have supportive people in my life. But it's so funny that even, you know, people would probably look at your body and think, oh my God, that's my dream body. I wish I had that. And you had difficulty leading up to that YouTube recording. Like, that's so normal. Everyone has that. And yeah, there was, I think one of the times that I really felt I wanted to empower women, this was years ago now, I was on the train from Newcastle to Sydney. So it was like a 3-hour train ride. And there were three high school girls sitting two seats away from me. And one of them asked, what would you change about yourself if you could change anything? And this beautiful 16-year-old-ish girl said, oh my God, I'd change everything. And I was like, no, you can't change everything. No. And I felt like just grabbing her and shaking her and being like, you are beautiful. You need to learn this about yourself. But I'm not a psychopath, so I didn't do that to a random girl on the train. But that's one of the reasons I started About Your Body. People saying stuff like that, it gets to me, like it's too much. And yeah, I really appreciate what you do with Go Club. It is wonderful. And it's so accessible with everything being online. Incredible work. Really well done. You're welcome. I was wondering if you had any suggestions for some ways our listeners could maybe begin to change their perception of exercise from a place of punishment for the body, like burn off last night's pizza, to reward for the body. I think that would be a really helpful mindset shift if you have any insight on shifting that.
Yeah, totally. I think like the first thing to do is to question why you exercise the way that you do. So if you are someone who does HIIT workouts or you go and you run every morning, I think whatever that is, just like question the why. Like, why do you do that form of exercise? And be honest with yourself about the why. Is it because you're trying to count how many calories you're going to burn off? Is it because you like the way that you look when you exercise 7 times a week? Is it because you feel strong and you love the way that your body actually physically feels after? Is it because you find that if you exercise in the morning, your day is more productive? You feel like your head is clearer. You feel like you just have a better day. Your mental health, it improves from it. Whatever that is, just question your why, because if you find a form of exercise that you really love and you enjoy, then your why should be a lot of these positive things. It should be because you feel good in your body, you feel strong, you feel empowered, because your mental health improves from it. And if that is not doing it for you, then maybe you should try and find something that does do that for you. I'm a big advocate for trying different things. I personally don't, well, obviously mostly do Pilates, but I love a yoga class. I love a strength training session once in a while. If I'm staying somewhere close to a beach, I'll go for a run on the beach, nice slow jog, because I love the way that that feels. And that, I think, is the most important thing. Question your why you're doing that, and then find something that you enjoy that makes you actually feel good.
That's actually really helpful for me as well. Question your why. I think a lot of the time we all follow a lot of us follow a lot of fitness influencers, and we like seeing their life, and I love following people's journeys. But I'll find myself doing a workout that is like not even remotely what I feel like doing that day, just because somebody posted it. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that one. Like, so that's great advice. Thank you.
We always compare. That's another thing that we sort of internalize. It's like people's obsession with like a day on the plate. They're like, oh, this model eats this every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I eat that same thing for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, am I going to look like that model? Like,
I know. Comparison is a beast. There is so much pressure for men's bodies to look a certain way as well, but I don't have any experience with that because that's not the experience that I've had. But I think that the comparison it's different for men and women, but it is so, it's existent across the entire gender spectrum 100%. And what, you know, Vogue used to do those things like a day on Hailey Bieber's plate. It's like, oh, she might not actually eat this every day. This is what she ate today.
And you have, yeah. So like maybe it wasn't what she actually ate today. Who knows?
Pick or it didn't happen, honestly, Vogue. And there's such a, the comparison is not, comparison is the thief of joy, as they say. Like it's really, I'm getting to a point in my life now, I'm not there, but I'm getting there, to where I'm starting to just really not give a fuck about what other people think. And it, I wish that I'd known that when I was 15. I really wish that I'd known that through high school. I would have lived life very differently, but you live and you learn. Well, you have just been an absolute joy. Thank you. I'm really looking forward to my listeners hearing this and understanding the ways that movement can help them. I do talk a lot about mental health on this podcast because I think it's just something that it's a universal struggle. Everyone struggles with it to some extent and just to different degrees. And the fact that you've managed to combine movement and mental well-being together, I think is awesome. So thank you. And hearing also about the effects of Pilates on women's bodies and physio for women's bodies as well, super beneficial. And I encourage any pregnant or postnatal women listening right now, please see a pelvic floor physio if you can afford it, because it is well worth it. But my final question that I like to ask all my guests is, what is one thing that you wish you knew about your body when you were younger?
Well, that is a good question. Yeah. I wish I appreciated how fucking great my body is. I wish I appreciated my own body's abilities, my own body's strength, my own body's power. And I wish that I could just acknowledge that in the moment. That's it.
I love that. What a wonderful note to end on. Thank you so much. I will leave links to your website, your YouTube channel, and your Insta below, and anything else you want me to leave as well. And yeah, thank you so much for enlightening my listeners.
Thank you so much for having me. That was really fun.
You're welcome. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the About Your Body podcast. I hope you found joy and comfort in learning about the biofemale body and the power that it holds. In the show notes, you will find links to the About Your Body Instagram page, which is full of free resources and illustrations explaining biofemale anatomy, as well as a link to the About Your Body Etsy store, where my art is available for purchase. And if you're a business, organization, or entrepreneur working in the women's health or women's empowerment space, we could work well together. Please reach out to me via my website, which is www.byrachelholt.com, if you'd like to hire me for graphic design or artistry services. Until next time, here's to learning about our bodies.